Well, I am celebrating today. I am celebrating because I can eat crisps again. Hurrah! I love crisps. Salt and vinegar in particular, if anyone's interested. And they're my absolute favourite. And I have given these up for Lent. Not one crisp has touched my lips for the duration of Lent. Thank you. Today I had crisps for breakfast. I will be having them for my starter for lunch. I will be eating them pretty much for the rest of the day. And I'll look like a big crisp afterwards, no doubt, as well. Don't be touching these. I know how many are in there. So I am celebrating this great achievement of not eating crisps for the duration of Lent, 40 days, which has been hard work because I love a sandwich. I love a packet of crisps, especially with a sandwich. It just makes it a bit more exciting. Has it been worth it? I think so. I felt motivated to do it. I feel good that I've been able to do it. Every time I've wanted to eat a crisp, it's made me think of why I'm taking this time out. It's made me think of the cost of what Jesus went through for me and my pathetic attempt of understanding his predicament through me giving up crisps has been a good prod, especially at the times when I would normally have had a packet of crisps. Perhaps I could even say I've even had a greater awareness of the presence of God as I've given them up. So I'm celebrating today. I'm now free to eat crisps, and my goodness, I will be. But today I'm celebrating something more than that. I'm celebrating the freedom and the hope we have in Jesus because of the resurrection power and all that promises. I'm celebrating the fact that all the pain and suffering Jesus went through, he felt was a cost worth paying because of his love and care for humanity, for you and for me. Wow. That really is something worth celebrating. You know, the world is full of empty promises. We watch TV and the advertisements tell us that we can be happy, attractive, rich, or famous if we only purchase a certain product. It doesn't take long before we've been fooled, perhaps, or the joy is short-lived and we realize it wasn't worth the cost and that the world's promises are full of emptiness. But God is different. Instead of promises full of emptiness, and on Easter, he gave us emptiness that is full of promise and hope. And we need to celebrate that because if we don't, I think we undermine and disregard the fact that Jesus thought that the salvation of humanity was all worth paying the cost. And that's just not on and not what our faith is built on. Over this Lent season, we've used this theme, whatever the cost, as we've traveled through the Gospel of Mark. And on this final day, our theme, we want to celebrate that we were a cost worth paying for God. And I've picked out three promises this morning that show we were a cost worth paying. Each promise is marked by something empty, an empty cross, an empty tomb, an empty burial clothes. And it's the very fact that each of these these is empty that assures us that God's promises are real and prove that he sees our salvation and our freedom worthy of the cost paid. Because they couldn't hold Jesus, because he couldn't be contained by the cross, the tomb, or even the burial clothes, we can be sure of the fullness of God's promises in our lives and that his death and resurrection was worth the cost. So let's begin with the empty cross. Because the cross was empty, we have the promise of forgiven sins. Right there, it's worth the cost. Let's go back to that first Easter morning. It's early morning, and a few of Jesus' followers, the two Marys and Salome, are on their way to the tomb where Jesus is buried. And as they walked, I reckon their conversation was quite subdued. The task before them was a sad one. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And I can imagine that as they came to the top of a rise in the path, they stopped and motionless and quiet and stared off in the distance. And there just outside the city stood this gruesome reminder of the events of just 2 days ago. Over there, silhouetted by the glow of the pink sky, on top of the hill the locals called the Skull, were three crosses. Yesterday was the Sabbath. so nobody had yet removed them. So there they stood, an empty reminder of the horror of Friday. The one in the middle, that's the one that Jesus hung on. And at the top of those bloodstains are those bloodstains from the crown of thorns that was crushed into Jesus' skull. The stains on either end of the crossbar came from the nails that were driven into his hands, and the main beam soaked in blood from his back, where the Roman soldiers flogged him with an iron-tipped whip. The cross, the place where Jesus died. But today it's empty, empty of Jesus' body, but full of God's promise, full of hope for you and me. For God, that was a cost worth paying. The promise of the empty cross is that you and I can stand forgiven at it, because it was on the cross that Jesus paid the penalty of our sins. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're told that. Every one of us, you, me, the person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, the only person who has ever lived a sinless life is Lord Jesus himself. Everyone else has failed. And the problem is that according to God's law, the wages of sin is death. So because of that, because we've sinned, we deserve God's just punishment. We deserve eternal death. However, when you look at the empty cross, it's a reminder of God's promise that we have been forgiven. It was on that cross that Jesus Christ offered his perfect sinless life on behalf of each of us. To Jesus, that was a cost worth paying. God's word tells us, God's demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No one else has ever lived perfectly and then offered his perfect life for our salvation. That's why the Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. No other name. No other name. Before that fateful Friday, God could open the books and look at each our name, and written in black would be the words guilty of sin, guilty of sin, guilty of sin. But when Jesus went to the cross, God literally transferred our accounts to his. And on that day, across every name, he wrote in Jesus' blood, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, you and I now stand forgiven at the empty cross. The first empty promise of Easter is the empty cross, filled with the promise of forgiven sins. That was a cost worth paying. What a reason to celebrate the day of resurrection. But let's go back to our ladies. They continue on their way down the path to the tomb. And as they go, one of them wonders aloud, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of this tomb?" Now, in our Bible study on Wednesday, we had a conversation about this comment, and how had they not thought about that earlier as they were going to the tomb? How had they not thought about this big stone that this was going to be in front of it when they planned to go and anoint Jesus' body? Well, we never came up with any satisfactory answers, really, just ideas of why it might have been. But they had a good reason to be concerned, as the stone that was placed in front of the tomb was a large boulder, probably weighing upwards of 2 tons. There's no way they could have moved that on their own. So imagine their surprise as they approached the tomb. The stone had been moved, and as they entered, they saw a man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right-hand side. Obviously, they're alarmed by the man, but he says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." Jesus had risen. He was alive. The tomb was empty. And what a tremendous promise that holds. Philip was an 8-year-old boy. And in his Sunday school class, several weeks before Easter, Philip's teacher introduced a special project. He gave every member a plastic egg and explained that each of the children were to go out and find a symbol of new life and put it into the egg. Well, enthusiastically, the class responded. Back in the classroom, the eggs were opened one at a time, with each child explaining the meaning of his symbol. In the first egg was a pretty flower. In the next, a beautiful butterfly, whilst green grass was in another. And finally, when they got to the last egg, it was opened and there was nothing in it. "That's stupid," said one child. Another grumbled, "Someone didn't do it right." The teacher felt a tug on his shirt, and it was Philip who said, "That's mine, and I did do it right. It's empty, because the tomb was empty." Then there was this unusual, thoughtful silence. Unfortunately, that summer, Philip picked up an infection, and whilst most children would have easily shaken it off, Philip's weak body couldn't, and a few weeks later, he died. And at his funeral, 9 8-year-olds with their teacher brought their symbol of remembrance and placed it near his coffin. Their unusual gift of love to Philip wasn't flowers. It was an empty egg, now a symbol to them of new life and hope. Philip had helped his friends see the wonderful hope of the message of Easter. In the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise to every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life. And because of that, his death was a cost worth paying. To those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something to be feared. What fear is there when we have the promise that one day we will live forever with him in heaven? Why was the tomb empty? Because Jesus was alive, and the promise to us is that we too can live even when we die. For Jesus, that cross was a cost worth paying because of the empty tomb, and another reason to celebrate this day of resurrection. And then there was one more promise that I want you to know about this Easter. In Luke's version of the event, which is very similar, but it just adds a little bit more detail to this story, as Mark's ends quite abruptly. After the women tell the disciples, Peter runs back to check for himself, and he finds Jesus' burial clothes lying in the empty tomb. And we find here the promise of the empty burial clothes. This could only mean one thing. Jesus was alive, because if someone had stolen his body, they wouldn't have removed the burial clothes and folded them up neatly and left them where they lay. Truly, Jesus was resurrected. And the message that was given to the woman by the man in the empty tomb was, go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. It wouldn't be long before Jesus himself would appear to all of them. He would sit down with them, walk, eat, and talk with them. Once again, they would be able to fellowship with their Lord. You see, that's the promise of the empty burial clothes, that Jesus is alive and wants to have fellowship with each of us. Jesus isn't some unknown force out in the universe influencing people. He is a living Savior, and he desires to have a personal relationship with each of us, just as he did with his disciples 2,000 plus years ago. And if you don't know about that yet and want to, then speak to someone here about it. The cross couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't contain him. The burial clothes were unnecessary because Jesus is alive. To him, we were worth the cost. What a reason to celebrate the resurrection. It has been 2,000 years plus since Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrection. That first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They were not yet aware of the wonderful promise of that day. Off in the distance stood an empty cross, the promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of the journey was an empty tomb, the promise of their eternal life. And inside the tomb were empty burial clothes, the promise that they would once again have a close personal relationship with Jesus, their living Savior. The promise that they discovered that day, we can all have today. My question to you this morning is, will you take him at his word? Will you really take in and celebrate that you and I were worth the cost paid by Jesus? Today is Easter Sunday, one of the most important days of a celebration in the church calendar. Jesus is no longer on the cross. The cross is empty. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. The tomb is empty, and Jesus is no longer wrapped in burial clothes. They are empty. What a reason to celebrate, not just on the day of resurrection once a year, but every day. The cost was worth paying for our salvation and for our freedom and for our eternity. As a church, sometimes I wonder if we've forgotten how to properly celebrate this resurrection power. Maybe it's because we've forgotten the price Jesus paid for us. Maybe it's because we've heard the story over and over again and we've become immune to the power of it. Maybe it's because we haven't been around any new believers recently to remind us of the hope we have in Jesus Christ because of the resurrection power. But you know when you watch a film again that you've already seen, if it was a suspense film maybe, and you've just been on the edge of your seats, but not so the second time because you know how the story ends. You know the good guy doesn't fall off the cliff and the bad guy eventually gets caught, but you still enjoy the movie. In fact, since you're not all tied up with the plot, you begin to appreciate other aspects of the film: clever dialogue, outstanding camera work, the use of a special effect, and so on. Since you know the ending, you can enjoy the movie a whole lot different level. And that's how we can enjoy and celebrate the life in resurrection power, as if we are viewing it for the second time. We don't have to sweat the outcome because we know God's ultimate outcome. We don't need to wonder if he will take care of us or if he will make all things to work together for his good, because we know the outcome. And we know that since Jesus paid the price and conquered death, we can, through him, conquer life. And in the process, we can enjoy the journey. Every day is part of the celebration, even in the tough days. That's God's promise, and that's our hope. That's a reason to celebrate on this day of resurrection and every day. When you have a reason to celebrate, and you do, then it makes all the difference, because you don't celebrate in vain. If the cost was worth paying for God, then that's worth celebrating for us. Watch this screen. An empty tomb, an empty cross, empty burial clothes, but not empty promises. We were worth the cost. That's worth celebrating. Let me pray with you. On this Easter morning, Lord, we come and welcome you, Jesus, into our lives. We welcome your resurrection, for it is life-changing, life-giving, and life-sustaining. We welcome the hope it brings to our world. We welcome the joy it brings to our darkness. We welcome the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes, for we know that it means that you are on the loose. Lord, may your resurrection give life to those who feel lifeless, those who are just going through the motions, and those who have had the death of a loved one. Lord, may your resurrection give hope to those who are mired in despair, who feel hopeless and who have given up all hope. Lord, may your resurrection give joy to those who feel no joy. lost their joy or have had their joy snuffed out. Lord, may you be on the loose in this world as the risen one. Living God, risen Son, Easter God, come and make us your living church. May every breath we take, every word we utter, everything we do, celebrate and witness to the truth of Christ's resurrection. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who believed we were worth paying the cost for. Amen. Amen.